Okay, brothers, I hope the kind of fellowship we're having, it seems it's a little bit here, a little bit there, is helpful. Ideally, I would do what I've been doing in Irvine for so many years. I was also doing all that for my own learning. But to really commit myself to a local church, bury myself there, and to really roll up the sleeves and do it with the brothers. And I cannot say that was flying colors, but we surely learned a lot, and by the Lord's mercy, there was some kind of a small model, if you will, build up there. In the ideal situation, I would like to do it with all the churches, because every church is different. There's no standard template. Every church is different. But short of that, I think brothers and Brother Lee once upon a time wanted to do that, but he was too old and occupied by the ministry and to take care of the globe. So he could not do that either, even though that was his wish. Prior to Irvine, I had the blessed privilege to be under Brother Lee. You may not believe this, in a very, very negative situation. And that is in the 80s into the 90s in Anaheim. That was the dark, dark days. But you may not believe me, it was in those very negative environment that I learned so much from Brother Lee quite directly in how to administrate a church in that kind of extremely difficult situation. And partly my going to Irvine in the early to mid 90s was with his burden that he said, if I were you, that's what I would do. But he couldn't do it. So I somewhat received or accepted that burden to do something. So I can only admonish you, brothers, to do your best. None of us could ever do anything that will hold a candle to what Brother Lee has done. No way. But we can do something. We all can do something. And if we all would, you see, brothers, it is not a matter of how gifted you are. Gift means something. Capacity means something. I'm not denying that. But that is not the main thing. The important thing is your deep involvement, your commitment, the energy and time you put into this, and rather than just carrying out a routine responsibility, you really take the church as a very, very serious project, and you just spend your life on it. Just by that kind of care and attention, trust me, something will happen. And never compare church to church. Don't compare. Either you feel better or you feel lousy. Don't do either. You are just you. You be faithful in your church. All right? And do what you can do. That's all we can do one day when we meet the Lord at the judgment seat. What I am giving you here are certain universal truth, the universal things, in principle. I believe if you take it, you'll render you much help. Brother Lee used the word groping. He said the elders are still groping. There are tons of books on eldership, but they're still groping because books are books. The actual doing is quite another matter. All right? So please take this kind of word, not just to write it down, but take it and fellowship and put some action to it. Together with your co-serving ones. Now, before I forget, I'd like to say one thing. I have a copy of. You just show me the three messages I gave. All right. So about 2 years ago, I gave three messages to the FTTA trainees. It's over actually a year's time. And believe me or not, well, you have to believe me because that's what I did. I spoke three messages on homosexuality to the trainees. And I was very burdened because we don't talk about it. And we are not inclined to talk about it. And it's a very difficult thing to talk about. Thank you. Thank you. And so, but I was burdened, and I felt the FTTA young people, being young people, they can benefit from it, and they provide me an audience. So I did that. Basically, what it turned out, these three messages, is actually a sort of Bible study of the whole Bible on the subject matter. So it's not, I didn't go to this source or that source, or I didn't bring any political bias you know what I mean, to this whole subject. Just the Word of God. I think that is the best. What does the Bible say about this matter? But I started with Genesis. Where in Genesis? Genesis chapter 6. And I believe I'm correct that all this lawlessness began with the angels coming to marry the sons of man, crossing a border, breaking the law of God's creation, violating the divine ordination, and they produce these Nephilim. You know the story. And it says the earth was filled with violence and lawlessness. And that is what brought forth the judgment by the deluge, you know, by the Noah's flood. I started there. And you will go to all the way to the end, which is in the books of Peter and in Jude. You'll find this matter being touched upon. This is not a new thing. Back in the Roman Empire, this is huge. This kind of perverted practice and living. And oftentimes the angels were mentioned. The angels were mentioned. So there is a there's a connection between this particular perversion or this particular lawless sin with angels. And of course, I'm talking about the fallen angels, right? Those that follow Satan, that occupy the air, the heavens, not the third heavens, but the heavens, which is the place where the principalities and powers of darkness reside. And that's where Satan rules still today. And I fully believe that these things is more than mere human philosophy, human ideology. No. There is a satanic and demonic work in the air that affects the human thinking. directly, darkness. Wherever there's an open mind to these things, Satan will lodge his kind of thoughts and things, you know what I mean, all to destroy man, basically, which is Satan's work. So I saw, at least from the beginning and the end, I begin to see, realize that there is a darkness. There is the darkness in operation that caused these kind of very, very unreasoned perversion. And so I gave three messages, and of course through the Bible, not just this Sodom and Gomorrah, right? You know the stories. Yes. And even the Old Testament teaching in the ordinances in Leviticus concerning some of these kind of things about the dress, no cross-dressing, using the present term cross-dressing. It's in the Bible, and on and on and on. Of course, in the New Testament, Romans chapter 1 is huge. That just nailed it. Romans 1, chapter 1. Right? And then, of course, in some of the epistles. Okay, so brothers, this is basically a Bible study. And I'm not on any soapbox. I'm not here to start some kind of something institute. I'm here just to a minister of the word. I feel we in the recovery have to say something, take a stand. And our stand is not this or that. Our stand is the Word of God. Would you like to have this?
Amen.
This will help you in answering questions with the saints. And now the whole matter of how to help people who are into this is another matter. I don't address this here. I could not address here. That is another matter. I may touch a little something, but I don't address it here. But mainly to establish God's attitude and God's word in relation to this matter. Now, when I say homosexuality, that is just a general term. Underneath, there's all kinds of perversion. You follow me? It comes out of that. Today in the world, that opens a door to multiple kind of other types of even more depravity. Is that the right word? Moral depravity and practices. Worse than just your so-called typical homosexual practice. These things have invaded the Lord's recovery, just like it's invaded all the institutions in society today, and with the internet, with so many things, there's no way you can block these things. And how they reach now even to little children, right? What do you call it? Gender fluidity, you know that? I can choose to be a man today, this afternoon, I'm going to choose to be a girl. Cross-gender bathrooms. These are pushed, legislated by actually a tiniest fraction of society. And yet it has become almost now the cultural norm. So that you dare not even to say anything, because by doing so, you'll be immediately considered bigoted and intolerant. So this kind of political climate we find ourselves in. And so thank God for the USA giving us the first amendment in our Constitution of what? Of the right to free speech. And I'm actually exercising that. So long I'm not here to incite you all to take some sticks and things and go and do something to people, I have the right. And I'm absolutely taking advantage of that right to say something. Plus, this is not my opinion. This is the Word of God. All right? So I don't know, Don, how is the way to you can... I don't want this to go out in an electronic file so suddenly it's all over the world, although it's probably all over the world now, I don't know. But it would be best to not to spread it electronically. If there's a way to get it to the brothers, I don't know.
We could give it to, like we did for GTCA, yeah, to the clusters and let them reproduce it, and then only one brother sub-region would have it to reproduce for the churches in that area.
Okay. Whatever. But you understand this is still a sensitive topic, and we don't want just to be kind of careless about the dissemination of something like this. But I felt, even speaking on this very unpleasant subject, to be quite anointed by the Word. So you can look. I call it a healthy word for the present age.
Amen. Amen.
Can we get it translated?
Yeah, I mean, into what, like German or whatever? Yeah, the Chinese. Today, many, of course, it's affecting the Chinese as well, but many of the immigrant folks or saints actually are quite ignorant about what their children are exposed to in schools, starting with primary schools. They are quite ignorant. And so they're defenseless. A lot of our parents they don't even know about these things, how bad it is, until it's too late. So whoever have the kind of burden, we can coordinate this. All right. Okay, we have 30 minutes. With these 30 minutes, as part of our planning, brothers, as part of our planning as the church in Northern California, amen?
Amen.
Right, we're not many churches. We are the church. By necessity, now I have to touch something about the work. The last meeting is about the churches, right? Now I need to say something about the work. The co-workers in North America have somewhat agreed that a three-pronged strategy for the Lord's move in this country is as follows. Number one, the work we must... I'm talking about the matter of gaining growth and increase of the Lord's testimony, okay, in this country. Number one is we must target or invest in gaining the majority of the local population. I choose those words very carefully. So I'm talking about three kinds of Americans, a composite. All right, and these three kinds of Americans added together in aggregate would represent 90%+ of the demographics of the population of USA. Number one, the Caucasian Americans. That includes the Russian, actually, because they're Caucasians, or Ukrainians. Two, the African Americans. Number three, the Hispanic Americans. All right. You add those three together, they are 90%+ of USA. Asians, Chinese, Koreans, Indians, Middle Easterners, all combined together is still 5-6%. But in the church life, we're lopsided. We're the other way. So this is not to say we don't care for the Asians. No, we're not saying that. We are saying to write the percentage to be reflective of the society's demographics, we need to invest in that, number one. Number two, that a lot of these people reside in Middle America. Middle America, okay. And so, geographically speaking, we are going to target Middle America to have many more saints and many more churches in the middle part of America. So far, the bigger churches, most of the saints are bi-coastal. All right? That's just a fact. Number three, we also agreed that basically we affirm that the most prevailing way, the most effective way to bring this about is to zero on campuses. U.S. campuses is hands down the best fishing ponds to gain these people, because there you'll find the young generation more open, more flexible, and we're talking about having time to train them, and they will become future pillars of the churches. Okay, so that's I want to give you the big picture here. Now, in terms of Northern California, somewhat we can bring that to this level, even though we're coastal. We will still preach the gospel to Koreans, Chinese. We will not stop that. So don't think that way. But we are burdened that we must seek increase among the first three composite group, even here in Northern California. Here, I think the demographics is quite particular. We have a heavy, heavy Hispanic population in the state of California, right? Kind of like Florida, Texas, Arizona kind of thing. So we still have a good number of Caucasian Americans and also African Americans. So we need to be cognizant of that and be burdened for that. I spoke about this here in this hall to the church in Fremont, which is 96% Chinese. And you know what? They all responded with a resounding amen. Amen. I was so encouraged by that. I was a little careful. I was afraid they would be unhappy, because I'm speaking to Asians and I'm telling them, you're not so important. But they were, no, I really mean it. The saints were happy, very supportive. That means, brothers, we really have some new man reality here. We do. I'm very happy, encouraged by that. So here, I would suggest that every year we will still have, together as the Church in Northern California, that GTCA move. I think a couple of weeks or three, right? In early spring, right? Or in the late winter. So I hope that is another way to keep us together, moving as one man and doing the same one work. So I suggest, and that means we need to start planning now for another GTCA. And hopefully with the church's condition coming up, we'll be more able to capture people, not only just hand out Bibles and just have some names. We'll be able to really shepherd and gain the sinners and the seekers. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, brothers, we have to continue to raise up raise up more solid work on the campuses. This year, praise the Lord, I mean right now, we have just opened business in Reno. You know, our company just opened a branch in Reno. And you know what? They will have a full-time team of five. That's pretty good. Five full-timers will be on the team working on UNR, right? University of Nevada and Reno. Very, very good situation. The couples that have migrated there, what a base. And then you have these full-timers joining, all excited. And I look forward to Reno to be very fruitful and even becoming a bit of a model for all of us. But that's just this year. I'm already looking to the brothers. What about 2019? What's our next campus? Right? And suddenly there are many campuses vying for attention and investment, you know. So all these startups, right? So I think we mentioned Stanford. We mentioned Chico. We mentioned Hayward, Cal State East Bay. There's a big brother and a smaller brother named Chabot College. Both added together is 50,000 kids there. We're talking about where? Morgan Hill. There's some community colleges there. You have Monterey, Cal State Monterey. And then San Luis Obispo is always on the radar. Santa Cruz, UC Santa Cruz, and whatever. So we obviously cannot start teams in all these places. But I wouldn't be surprised the day come we will just start two teams every year. As we build up the pipeline, sending more young people to the training, coming back this way. And this will be a lead-in to a particular need if we want to have these teams. But let me just say that much. Merced, did I say Merced? Is another place, Fresno State. So, so brothers, on the work side, we're going to really strengthen our campus labor, the raising up of more, player coaches, really developing our full-timers, on and on and on. Okay, so this is one thing. The second thing that is important, brothers, in our work is the young people's work, our own young people. What good it is if we keep gaining outside and we're hemorrhaging our own over in the backside. So we need to also strengthen our young people's work. And the young people's work should not be some work out here. The young people's work must be plugged in to the one work in Southern California, because we have only one pipeline from children to young people to college and to full-time training and to young working saints. It's one pipeline. We've got to work together. And usually the pipeline is weak at the joints. So we need to strengthen the connectivity between the different segments of this pipeline. And so the young people is very important. Brother Nee said 50% of our increase should come from within, our own. 50% from without. So that's a lot of work to do, brothers, the parents and so on and so forth. I know there's a labor here. You have Summer School of Truth coming and this and that. I know that. But we need to even enhance and strengthen that and begin to pluck this whole thing in together into kind of one machine, one work. Because there's a lot of synergistic value in that kind of a blended work, rather than you just work there, you work there, and they don't talk, you know, that's not good. So I just mentioned that. Then, brothers, now the GTCA work that I mentioned earlier that we will have every February, that is not just campus. That is all kinds, right? Community outreach, right? K-12, campus, and even different languages. It should be just kind of just everybody. Okay. Now, we need to come to one thing that is important, brothers, and that is this. Now we need to talk about the subject of money. And I must talk about it. Brothers, I hope we will all come to a point as the church in Northern California that we can talk about the matter of money in a very open way, yet in a very pure way.
Amen.
It should not be taboo. It should not be, so sensitive. We're in the family. And no money, no work. It's that simple. And if we want to, right now we have 40 full-timers. We calculated, if we use 1 out of 20 or whatever it is, we should have over 100 full-timers. 100 full-timers at $2,500 per month is what? Is $2.5 million. Correct? Per year. No. $2,500 times 12 months. It's 30,000. 30,000, 100 full-timers is $3 million. $3 million a year to support 100 full-timers. And that support is not supporting an opulent lifestyle. Not in the Bay Area anyway. That is like subsistence, kind of, $2,500. So $3 million, you say, $3 million, where does the money come from? We're all poor. Really? I'd like to know how poor the Bay Area is. Please tell me how poor you are. Northern California. According to my, what's transparent to me, you know, based on the past givings for Building 8, Building 7, you know, all these kind of giving, consistently, the Northern California churches place number 2 in the amount of giving, only behind Southern California. And we have 2 to 3 times your population. So you can't be that poor. And now we have more and more saints coming here to work. Mm-hmm. Many have 6-figure income. More and more. Stock options. Bonuses. And our Mr. Trump is making the economy great. Again. There are more money than you and I think. But this money may be going to vacations, cruises. Huh?
Weddings.
Well, brothers, sorry to be speaking in this kind of very not so spiritual way. But I like to tell you this matter of money, although this is the last subject, it is not the least important subject. Actually, this is a very spiritual subject. This money that is dirty, this mammon that is unrighteous, right, is actually the key to a healthy spiritual life.
Amen.
And church life. You have to know that so that you can tell the saints about this. So, our giving today among the saints is not even up to Old Testament standard, which is tithing, 10%, which is the standard of the Mormon church, which is a cult. They in Mormon church is just 10%. They don't ask for more. 10%. And everyone gives 10%. And that church is just has so much money to send the missionaries all throughout the world. You know that? We don't do that because we don't practice the Old Testament law. We're in the age of grace. But grace, brothers, became our excuse. Grace. We're free. I can give just 1%. It's grace. The law says 10. I give 1. It's grace. That's an excuse. Grace means more than 10. Grace means there's so much grace within you. Am I right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's all on giving by the churches in Achaia. And Paul talk about grace there so much. As much he talk about it later on in chapter what? 12? About all sufficient grace. Sufficient grace. Here he talk about a lot about grace. Grace and money is related. Or rather, giving is related. Why we are not enjoying that much grace? Because we're not giving. So the blessing cannot come. There's a reason why certain blessings are withheld, even in your personal life and your family life. It's like you make a lot and there's nothing left because you're not giving. I'm talking to the saints now, right? So, brothers, at least the saints, you have to tell the saints, at the very least, you have to give 10%. Now, the Mormons, if you don't, they will send people to knock on your doors and give you an invoice, you know, whatever they do. We, of course, won't do that. But, brothers, because of that, we have become what? Deprived of blessing. Because we don't practice the law. That is not right. Tell the saints, we should at least be Old Testament. Amen. And by the Lord's grace, more than the New Testament, the Old Testament. And the more we give, the more we will give. The less you give, it will shrink. You will give less and less and less. That's how it works. And on top of this, brothers Lee's leading us, is each giving unit should give 5% on top of the 10. And the 5% is to support the full-timer 1 out of 20. You know, 1 saint out of 20. 19 support 1. That's about 5% for those who are working. 20 support 1. 5%. So 15% actually is minimum. If in the Bay Area or Northern California, this would become a prevalent culture, I will tell you, brothers, trust me, all the needs will be met. In a normal way. So I talked to the brothers yesterday. We back to my Starbucks latte or Starbucks Frappuccino. I don't know how you can drink that stuff. So in order to help you not to drink Frappuccino, it will only make you healthy. So drink one less cup of Frappuccino per week. You'll save $5. Grande size, yeah? $5. 4 weeks, $20. 1 year, $240. I'm still right? Yeah. $240. And this is not every giving unit. This is every saint who is on, comes to the Lord's Day, because even a high schooler has $5 and a lot more in his pocket. $5 of not drinking the Frappuccino, you won't even feel it, and it will make you healthier by drinking some water or lemon juice, okay? So, how many? We have now, those who come to once a month, as of 2 years ago, 3,000 saints. Once a month, saints, 3,000. Today, we got to have a few more than that. But let's just use 3,000. 3,000 times 2,400. What is this? 700 by doing nothing except becoming healthier, we will have $720,000 by doing nothing except getting healthy. Two cups per week, $1.5 million. You just need to not drink the Frappuccino two cups a week. We will have $1.5 million this year to support 50 full-timers. This is not even 5%, nothing like that. This is just, right? You follow me?
Yes. Amen.
I think today, so many saints, you're working, startups, Google, LinkedIn, Apple. $5, it's like they don't carry $5 anymore. It's all Apple Pay, right? It's all cashless, am I right? They don't even know what $5 is. $5 is meaningless. It's like the old days, the pennies. And the pennies are useless, except for those machines for kids to print out something funny, you know. The pennies are useless. Today, $5 are useless. You don't even feel it. You don't see it. And yet, we can support 50 full-timers by doing nothing. Brothers, if we really do 5%, okay, someone with the income, take-home income. Let's say I earn $70,000. What's my take-home income under today's typical? 50. I don't know what the tax rate, federal, state. 50,000? Say, let's say 50,000, round number, 50,000. 50,000, 5%. Well, firstly, 10% is 5,000, right? 5% is 2,500. But this is giving units. This is not every saint, right? So you do the math. I don't know what that is. I don't know how, because I don't know how many giving units are here. But $2,500 per giving unit, not $5, not $20 per month. This is $2,500 a month. No matter how we cut this, brothers, you see, the money will be there. And when the money is there, brothers, we can do a lot of things. We can support full-timers. We can buy a blending center. We can do many things to advance the Lord's work. And this does not depend on big givers. We will always have big givers, and the Lord will always burden big givers. But we want to not rely on that. The thing to rely on are all the saints, the little ants. You know, every little ant have a piece of sand, you know. That is what will make a hill. So, brothers, I hope you will not take this as just an academic exercise that I'm doing here. I hope you would really take that into your church, full consideration, and to educate the saints accordingly. This is not to beat them over the brow. This is not to threaten, this is not to force, this is to educate. He, Jacob said that if we don't educate the saints, we actually owe them. One day when they face the Lord, they will say, the elders never told me. The brothers never trained me. I was talking to a brother, not married yet, been through the full-time training, now have an excellent job in one of the top five accounting firms. I don't know which one. Top four or something, right? Yeah, he's on one. They're driving them like him like a slave, you know, and not giving them work overtime, but not giving overtime pay. I said, that's illegal, you know. So I gave him a few pointers to negotiate with his boss so that he won't work so much because he has a church life to live. Then the last thing I said, brother, I just have one word for you. Give.
Amen.
That's my shepherding today. Give. I didn't tell him how much. I said give.
Amen.
Oh, he was very thankful. Brothers, don't be afraid to help the saints to give.
Amen.
It will bring about blessing.
Yes.
To their lives. Many saints today are not experiencing the full release, the full blessing, because they're still withholding something. They're still withholding something. What the Lord wants from them, they are not releasing. The person who give, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. It is more blessed to give than to receive. The Lord attributed to the Lord himself. Brothers, I tell you, a person who give is the happiest person.
Amen.
The person who hoard is a miserable person, even in the world.
Amen.
Even in the world. So, go. I don't mean you pound the saints on the head. Educate the saints. One thing that is very helpful is the holy word for morning revival called material giving. Use that periodically, not just once and for all. Even every year, remind the saints. Use the annual business meeting. Use the last week or the first week of the church meeting. Saints, let's talk family business now. And remind them. You will, by doing this, help the saints build up a healthy habit. All right? Now, I was told that in the fund that we have set up for the work in Northern California, we started 2.5 years ago. After we started, the giving was boom like this. And since then, it has boom like this. And since then, it has crawl like this. Over. That's not normal. That spike and that drop, neither are normal. We like to see what it's like this. And in fact, it's a little bit like that. Normal, normal. And now there's a way you can what? You can give online, and you won't even see the money because it's automatically deducted by the Lord, right, for his interest. Isn't this wonderful? You don't even see your money. That's the best way to be saved. So I stop here because there's only 1 minute, and it's 1 o'clock. You want to say a couple of things about this? About this website. You all know about this website? Tell the saints about this website. Tell them to pull out their devices in the meeting.
NorCalChurches.org.
You need to have your routing number, your bank, your whatever, those basic information. What is that? Bank account and routing number, and you can finish the whole thing in what?
Five minutes.
And you don't need to think about latte or frappuccino. You just say, just take off X%, whatever you have from your income, and it will do it automatically for you. Huh?
$5, $10, $20, $100, and then this, you can
Just check.
Yeah. $5 per week. Is that per week? $5 is Frappuccino. All right. It's the lowest grade. I'm sure that we can do a lot more than that in a normal way. Do we love the Lord, brothers?
Amen.
Where do we set our heart? Where your treasure is, there's your heart. It does not say where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. I just stop here, brothers.
Amen.
It's a very, very important matter. Let's see something happen.
Amen.
Really, brothers, let's see something happen. Okay, I think I can stop here. How about we have some prayer right now?
Amen.
Brothers,
Lord, we give this to you here.
Amen.
Right now, just present all the churches.
Amen.
Northern California.
Amen.
The one church in Northern California.
Amen.
This is your church.
Amen.
This is the house of the living God.
Amen.
This is the pillar and base of the reality.
Amen.
Lord, this is your testimony.
Amen.
Your move on the earth
today. Amen.
Thank you for what you have done in the past few years.
Right.
Lord, now we look to you for this new year.
Amen.
We look to you for the coming future.
Amen.
Lord, we look to you with great expectation.
Amen.
Of even more blessing.
Amen.
More of your presence.
Amen.
More fruitfulness.
Amen.
More flourishing situation.
Amen.
Every church.
Amen.
Every saint.
Amen.
We give ourselves to you.
Amen.
And we brothers who take the lead present ourselves first.
Amen.
One living sacrifice.
Amen.
Through your perfect will.
Amen.
May your will be done.
Amen.
In this area.
Amen.
As it is in the heaven.
Amen.
We pray the saint's heart will be yours.
Amen.
The wealth would be yours.
Amen.
What we are, what we can do.
Amen.
What we own.
Amen.
All are yours.
Amen.
We love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We exalt in you.
Amen.
We glorify you.
Amen.
We express you.
Amen.
The entire Northern California.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Our next meeting is August the 18th. It's also the third Saturday. So put it down on your calendar, August 18th. Just want to say a little word on the offering. I just want to show you the chart that Brother Minoru talked about.
Uh-huh.
This is the work fund giving. Can you see it?
Yeah.
So, for the first few months, it was good. And then it ramped up to the the end of the year. And then it stopped coming down, right? It started coming down. So we really want to see that this will go back up again. And in a very steady and consistent way.
Look. You know, today, how many saints have pledged to give online in the way that we describe? You guess. We have 3,000 saints here. How many have signed up to give in this deducting way?
Right.
7. 8. Because he just signed up. 3,000 saints, 8 have signed up. Brothers, something is quite wrong with that picture. Brothers, we should take the lead.
Amen.
All right?
Right.
Amen. All the saints should, as much as possible.
Amen. All the saints should take the lead. Amen. And I think we, the brothers here, 200 of us, we need to take the lead. And then after we have taken the lead, then we can announce it with full confidence and boldness to the saints. And you can have a first-hand experience of how easy it is to enter that submittal. And as our brother was speaking, I also was reminded that Apostle Paul in Philippians, he said that, "I rejoice greatly that your remembrance of me has blossomed again." Right? "I rejoice greatly that your remembrance of me has blossomed again." And Brother Lee's footnote is that the word blossom means sprouting, means something of life. So the giving has a lot to do with our experience of life. And our brother has been emphasizing that in addition to having the truth, we also need to experience life. And I believe the more we give, the more we experience the Lord's speaking, the Lord's energizing, and the Lord's life in us, and more divine dispensing. And on top of that, if we give to this work, can you imagine that next time when we pray for the church in Reno, next time when we pray for the campus team in Reno, you will feel that you are part of it.
Amen.
We have a part in the church in Reno.
Amen.
We have a part in this temple team in Reno. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
So we have a part of this one work.
Amen.
For his one testimony.
Amen.
So we're growing more and more into one accord. Amen. Even in our physical giving. Two announcements for all of you to know. One is that you will receive an email, whoever is enrolled in this training, with a link to a website, a BFA website, that is about dealing with the conscience. It's quite a good summary matter. It's very easy to follow. It's very approachable for any believer or anybody just interested in it. So we recommend you to look at that and to read through it yourself and to recommend it to others. Secondly, in fellowship a little bit, we'll confirm this. We think that it's probably better to send out this material on homosexuality. We will try to send it by mail to everybody rather than try to send it out as an electronic version. So we're going to work on that. You may not get it immediately, but we will try to work on that and get it out very soon.
Oh, just quickly, brothers, all of you should have received in your email a link to the attendance survey form. So to help the brothers gather the statistics for attendance, I think it'll just take you less than a minute to fill out the attendance survey form. Okay, if you can do that right after this meeting, that'll be great.